Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Acts, please. I don't want to be here real long tonight, but I do want to get a thought out tonight. And if something happens real bad and I see that it's going to run way over, we'll break it in half and come back Wednesday night. But there's a text here that is just absolutely wonderful. It's beautiful. And in Acts chapter number, I believe we'll start in verse number 6. Acts chapter 6, we're going to go into verse number 7, or chapter number 7. But I want to look at a man tonight that I know you're familiar with him in the Bible. His name is Stephen. But I want to give you some things about Stephen tonight that spoke to my heart. And, you know, we're starting off a new year. And this is what I guess I want to say tonight. I see some characteristics in the life of Stephen that I'd like to have in my own life. And I think that would be a worthy, goal, a worthy prayer request. God help me to be more like this man, Stephen. The Bible said in those days, verse 1 of chapter 6, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring among of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. It makes you thank God for George and Jim. Say amen. Even Gerald's easier than those names. Amen. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. As many times, Brother Steve, as I've read this, I didn't really catch what the problem was. The problem is in that last text right there. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. I'm going to be talking about Stephen's life in the rest of this chapter, in chapter number 7. I'm going to be looking at the trouble that he encountered. And I never really understood exactly why. But I believe that right there is a whole lot of the problem. The religiosity in Jerusalem was losing its grip on the people. People were giving up their tradition for a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were being born again. Their lives were being changed. They knew more now than the Word of God. They actually knew the God of the Word. And by the way, there is a difference. I believe there's people standing in seminaries all across America teaching the Word of God that know the Word of God better than I ever will, but don't know the God of the Word. You say, preacher, why would you make a statement like that? Because how could you deny that he was born of a virgin? If you knew the God of the Word, how could you deny that homosexuality is an abomination in the sight of God if you knew the God of the Word? Beloved, I'm telling you, it's a difference in knowing the Word of God and knowing the God of the Word. The Bible said, hearing Stephen full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. Notice this. And set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. I'm going to go into chapter 7, not right now, but I want to examine Stephen's life tonight. Say a few things about Stephen that I pray will challenge us. And God has certainly challenged my heart and my life as I've studied his life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for this precious old book, the Bible. Thank you, Lord, that you put these examples of godly men in front of us. We're without excuse, our Lord. We have our Bible, we have the Holy Spirit, we have each other, we have a Father in heaven. And Lord, we're without excuse not to live holy lives that bring honor and glory unto you. I pray, dear Father, that you'd challenge us in these days and help us, Lord, in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I want to give you several things tonight that I picked up on in the life of Stephen. Now, you can read all down through chapter number 7. I believe there's quite a few verses, maybe 60 verses in chapter number 7. For the sake of time tonight, I'm not going to read it, but I would ask you to read it. That's some more homework, amen, to go along with what we'll get after a while. But think about Stephen tonight. I want to give you several things tonight. Number one, Stephen was an honest man. You say, preacher, that goes without saying. Beloved, I'll tell you what the Bible said. The Bible said here that they sought out among them, look in chapter number 6. The Bible said, they're looking in verse 3, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, how do you know Stephen was an honest man? Well, that gets us into chapter number 7. I want to show you some things, beloved, over in chapter number 7 that I believe will be a blessing in your heart and in your mind. Number one, and if you'll read it, you'll go down through chapter number 7 as a response before this council. And the Bible said here, he said to the high priest in chapter 7, verse 1, are these things so? No, the high priest said, are these things so? And he said, men and brethren. So here, Stephen is addressing the council. He's addressing the false witnesses. He's addressing those that beloved have set him up to fall. And the Word of God is teaching us he's an honest man. You say, preacher, what do you mean? We'll give you several things. You read this chapter. I'm not going to take the time to do it tonight. But you're going to find out that Stephen was honest with them about their history. When I wrote that down as I studied this passage of Scripture, listen, you need to know this. In the public school system in America, there are a lot of places that are not being honest with our children about our history in the United States of America. But Stephen was honest with them. He took them back and he taught them about Joseph. They already knew these things. He started where they were. He took them back and he taught them about Moses. He took them back, beloved, to that Old Testament that they were familiar with. And beloved, what he ends up doing in the end is using what they already knew to hang them, amen, and show them that they should have recognized Jesus as the Savior of the world. He was honest with them about their history. He talked about Abraham. And that's where we were this morning. He talked about Moses. He talked about Joseph. He talked about their time in Egypt. He talked about that Pharaoh that knew not Joseph when he came up and how he made it hard on the children of Israel. And I just say thank God for honest men. That'll be honest. Listen, we're living in a world, you know it's a truth. If you watch this news outlet, they spin it this way. You watch this one, they spin it this way. You watch this one, they spin it this way. I say thank God for a man that'll stand up and be honest and tell it like it is. Amen. Stephen was that man. Stephen was honest with them about their history. And I thank the Lord for that, don't you? You go home and read that and see if you're not in complete agreement with me about that. Not only was Stephen honest with them about their history, I'd like for you to, if you will, to look at verse 39 in chapter number 7. The Bible said, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as this Moses, who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. You say, preacher, I don't understand what you're getting at. Look here. Number one, he was honest with them about their history. Number two, he was honest with them about their heart. He was showing them that just like in the days of Moses, there were those that rejected the truth. Moses is up there on the mountain getting the word of God, but they're making an idol. And beloved, listen, he's showing them that the problem that was back there in the days of Moses is still the problem today. It's their heart. That's the problem. Let me show you something here. The word of God said in chapter number 7, look at verse 51. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. Beloved, the heart was the problem then. The heart is the problem now. And Christ is the answer for the problem in every man, woman, boy, and girl's heart. Beloved, listen. I'll tell you tonight, he was honest with them about their history. That ought to bless us tonight. He was honest with them about their heart. But then, let me give you this. He was honest with them about their hostility, their hatred. Look at verse 51 again. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hard in ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. I never forget, when I can't remember who was preaching when I learned this. They said that, you know, that in the Old Testament, there were the nation of Israel rejected God the Father. And then you come into the New Testament, and they rejected God the Son. And then you get into the book of Acts, and they rejected, I'm talking about nationally now, not as an individual. They rejected God the Holy Ghost. There's no more God to reject. And so what happened? God turned to the Gentile. God opened the door. God grafted in the dog, so to speak. That's you. And that's me. And gave us an opportunity. Because of their hostility. Look here. The Bible said in verse 52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one. Of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Who have received the law by dispensation of angels. Have not kept it. When they heard these things, the Bible said, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. I say tonight, thank God. He was honest with them about their history, about their heart, and about the hostility that was in their heart toward the things of God. Beloved, listen, I'm telling you, in America today, there's a whole lot of hostility buried towards the things of God. Every now and again, it begins to rear its ugly head. Amen. But listen, everybody doesn't love this book. Everybody doesn't love the church. Everybody doesn't love Jesus. Everybody doesn't love this old time way. Amen. Even among professing Christians sometimes. So let me give you this tonight. I said Stephen, number one, was an honest man. Let me give you this tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing. Stephen, number two, was a holy man. Notice what the Bible said here. We're looking for men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And the word of God is teaching us here, if you look at verse number 8, that Stephen was a man full of faith and power. I believe there's no way to be full of such things, beloved, without being full of the Spirit of the living God. He was a holy man. Stephen, number 3, I'll give you this tonight, was a helpful man. Now, I'll give you this. Look with me at verse number 8. The Bible said Stephen, full of faith and power and great wonders and miracles, he did great wonders and miracles among the people. I had a thought. I've said this before. I've said that Stephen preached one message and got stoned or killed for that one message. I'm not sure about that after I studied. And I'll tell you why. I won't be dogmatic either way. I'll tell you why. How many remembers when Peter and John, I think, Brother Steve, you preached about this a little while back about the lame man that was healed. And Peter said something like this: how come you look on us like by our own power we've done this? In other words, Peter was careful to point him to Jesus. You know what I believe? I believe when Stephen was doing great wonders among the people and miracles, I have reason to believe a man that's full of the Holy Ghost is not pointing to himself, but he's pointing up to Jesus. I believe he was. I don't believe this is the only message he ever preached now. I'm just not sure about that. I believe he was telling people about Jesus all along the way. Because if you were doing great wonders and miracles among the people, you know what the people are going to want to do. They're going to want to make more out of you than what they ought to be making out of you. And a man full of the Holy Ghost won't let people make more out of him than they ought to make out of him. He'll say, listen, give my God the glory. Give the Lord Jesus the glory. So Stephen was a helpful man. He's helping people. He said, preacher, what's he doing? Same thing Jesus did. The Bible said of Jesus, he went about doing good. That's what Stephen's doing, going about doing good. You know what I believe we'll do this year? Just go about doing good. Just do what we can for the cause of Christ. Do what we can for the glory of God. Do what we can to help each other. Do what we can to help a sinner understand their need of the Savior. I believe that's what we ought to do. Stephen was a helpful man. He was helping people. But let me give you this. We don't like this. Nobody likes this. But it's the truth. I want you to look with me, if you will, down in verse number 11. The Bible said they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Let me ask you this. Is that true? Nope. So what were they doing? Well, if it's not true, they're lying. Somebody help me. This is the next thing I saw. Stephen was a hated man. Let me say this to you tonight, and I don't say this in a mean spirit. It's true of pastor. It's true of you. If we're not careful, sometimes we would rather be loved or liked than be right. Somebody help me tonight. Sometimes we would rather trim the message. Sometimes we would rather compromise than to be right. Am I right or am I wrong? Sometimes a daddy will compromise because he'd rather compromise than be right. He'd rather be liked than to be hated. That's nature. But beloved, Stephen is right, and he's not going to change just because he's hated. He's not going to get more right. I mean, you're either right or you're not. In chapter number 7, he's not getting more right. He's just getting in more detail about the right. He's giving them the word of God. And beloved, he's not going to change, even though they hated him. Look back up with me, verse number 7. The Bible said the word of God increased, the number of the disciples multitude in Jerusalem greatly, and the great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Honey, tradition was losing its grip. Formalism was losing its grip. And they hated it. They wanted to keep control of the religious aspect in Jerusalem. And they started losing control. And so they hated this man of God that God was using. This man called Stephen. The Bible said they stirred up the people in verse number 12. The elders, the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. I say, beloved, tonight, here's a man, Stephen. He was a helpful man, but he was also a hated man. He was a man, beloved, that God used. And I believe we could learn a lot from him in our own lives. The next thing I see tonight, just a couple more things and I'll be done. Look at verse number 15. I said tonight that Stephen was an honest man. He was a holy man. He was a helpful man. He was a hated man. Look at verse 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him. Now, I think that's important. They weren't just glancing. They had their eyes fixed on him. The word of God said they saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Here's what I want to say next. He was an honored man. God honored that man, Brother Lance, with his presence. God honored that man with his power. God honored that man with his peace. Brother Aaron, he was able to stand in the midst of the wolves and be a sheep for God's glory. You think about who he's imitating. There's somebody else, amen, that went to an old rugged cross. His name was Jesus. And beloved, God honors him. Wouldn't you like to have God honor your life? Honor you, honor your testimony, honor your efforts for the kingdom of heaven. Beloved, he was an honored man. The Bible said, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. You say, preacher, what do you think they saw? I think they saw a glow, much like they did in the face of Moses when he had been in the presence of God. I believe, beloved, listen, they might have gotten some help if they could have saw something besides Stephen's face, if they could have saw Stephen's heart, if they could have saw that he was being truthful with them and being honest with them, not because he hated them, but because he loved them. Beloved, sometimes the truth hurts. When I make that statement, I think about chasing that boy when I was a teenager, a young teenager. And I fell down as I was chasing him. The boy had done something to my brother and I was after him. I aimed to get him. I know y'all never did do stuff like that, but I did. I fell in the street and there were gravels buried up in my knee. My blue jeans were torn. Dad said to Mom, get me the peroxide. Here comes Mom. Dad's taking little tweezers and pulling the gravels out. Here comes Mom. You say, preacher, why didn't you go to the emergency room? Because we couldn't afford to go to the emergency room every time you busted something. Mom would come out and said, we ain't got no peroxide, honey. I got some alcohol. He said, bring it. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe when Daddy poured that in there, I could have passed a motorcycle going down the street. It hurt. But I've never seen anything heal up so fast in all my life. Sometimes the truth hurts. But beloved, it'll help us to heal up. It'll help us to be that honorable man that God wants us to be. Beloved, listen. Here he was honored by God in verse number 15. The last thing I want to say about Stephen is found in verse number 55 down through verse number 60. I know that we've kind of just run through this tonight, but I want to give you this main thought. Stephen, a precious man of God, an honest man, a holy man, a helpful man, a hated man, an honored man. The last thing I want to give you is that Stephen was an honorable man. How many would like to leave this world and it not just be something that's said, but be something that's true? I believe it, just reading Brother Joe's obituary a while ago, You say, why'd you do that? I was trying to honor the memory and the service that he's given to our Lord down through the years. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Amen. If Brother Joe was sitting on the front bench, he wouldn't want me to make too much of him. He'd give God the glory. I've been around him. Hadn't been too many months ago that I saw him in the restaurant and I said, Brother Joe, how you doing? He said, just a few months from perfection. That's what he said. Just a few months from perfection. I say hallelujah for an honorable man. Let me give you this, a couple things real quickly. He was honorable as a result of where he was looking. Look at verse 55. The word of God said here, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked. Somebody tell me the next word. You know what we need to do this year? We need to look up. He was honorable as a result of where he was looking. He was looking up. He wasn't looking around. He wasn't looking down. He was looking up. And he looked up steadfastly, the word of God said, into heaven. And he saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God. As far as I know, Brother Ralph, this is the only time in the Bible that you see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. We talked about military funerals, talked about military service. In the military, there's a salute. Say amen. And I wonder if Jesus wasn't standing because there was a soldier that was kneeling. And in so doing, looking up. And so doing, saluting the captain of his salvation. Jesus was standing at the Father's right hand. I said he was an honorable man because as a result of where he was looking. Number two, he's an honorable man as a result of what he's saying. Look at verse 56. And he said, behold, he's telling this bunch, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. I tell you, thank God for people that will tell others what God shows them. Has God shown you the way? Then you ought to tell others what God has shown you. He's honorable because of the way he's looking. He's honorable because of what he's saying. The next thing, he's honorable as a result of how he was dying. Say, preacher, I don't know what you mean. Watch this now. They cast him out of the city. They stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen. How's he dying, preacher? He's dying, calling on God. And saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Beloved, that's a blessing. He's dying. One of the old preachers, I'd give him credit if I could remember which one, but he said this. He said, God's people die well. Stephen, we have the record of his death. I got to give you this. Just think about this for just a minute. Actually, it ties right in with the last thing in the message here. Under Stephen was an honorable man. Look at verse number 60. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice. He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I say the last thing is he was honorable because of what he was asking. You know what he was asking God to do? To forgive those that were throwing the rocks at him. I never shall forget this, Brother Lance. I shared this with the youth years ago here at the church. I never shall forget when God contrasted in my heart how Samson died with how Stephen died. Samson died, Brother Gary, praying that God would avenge him of his enemy for his eyes. God, give me my strength back. Stephen, he died with his eyes gouged out, praying that God would avenge him of his enemy. Stephen died with his eyes on Jesus, praying that God would forgive the very ones that had stoned him to death. I don't know about you. I sure would like to have enough grace when I die to pray for those. Say amen. You're not going to get through this world without being wronged. But I tell you what you can do. You can turn that over to the Lord. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. I tell you what you can do. You can pray for them. And I tell you what God will do. He'll honor you with his presence. And there'll be a peace when it comes time to cross the river. You can say, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You're looking at a pastor that's glad he didn't lay my sin to my charge. That's glad, Brother Ralph, that he laid my sin over on his son. And his son took it to Calvary and took it away. There's a story in the Bible, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's how that someone was forgiven of a big debt. And then somebody owed them a little debt. Forgiven of a big debt. Then they get the person that owes them a little debt by the throat. You know what's in there. I can't quote it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You and I that have been saved by the grace of God have no business with our hands around anybody's throat. We've been forgiven of a huge debt. The debt of sin. How many's learned something from Stephen tonight? I want to be an honorable man. I want to be an honest man. I want to be a helpful man. A holy man. Somewhere along the way, in so doing, I'll be a hated man. I just say this tonight. Jesus told his disciples, if they hated me, they'll hate you. I believe with all of my heart tonight that truth, sometimes it's misunderstood, but sometimes it's just despised. People just despise the truth of the Word of God. And I believe sometimes tonight we think that we're hated when it's really not we're us being hated, but it's really our Savior. And that stand for what's right. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight. God help us this year. It'd be wonderful if God put it in somebody else's heart. Maybe your name ain't on the list. I'm telling you, we're going to make it so easy. God willing, we're going to have a business card printed. I'm going to stand in this pulpit and give the gospel for about 10 or 15 minutes. We're going to have a business card where somebody that you can't take 20 minutes with, or you can't even take 5 minutes with, where you could say, would you look at this? 15 minutes could make all the difference in this world and in the world to come. Would you just take a little time and look at this? Some people may say no, but I believe most people say, yes, I will. Yes, I will. And I believe it'll make a difference. Amen. We may get home to heaven before we find out. Even through the visitation that we've been doing for the last 4 years. I'll tell you this. When old Slewfoot's a-fighting, that's probably a pretty good indication that God's doing a work. I wrestled. I don't know when I've ever wrestled like I wrestled over that funeral this week. I wrestled. and wrestled. Couldn't get nothing else. This didn't have no more sense than to just do what God told me to do. Even went home wrestling. Even woke up the next morning. You can ask Miss Eve. Standing there waiting on a cup of coffee to drip down. I said, honey, do you think that message was received? Still wrestling in my spirit. You say, preacher, why would you wrestle? I'll tell you why. I don't want to let him down. Why would you wrestle? Because I don't want to let them down either. I got to the funeral home. Walked in. Brother Dan got me by the arm. He said, Dylan's wife was saved last night after the service. You know what? When we're at our sorriest, he's at his best. If we just put forth a little effort, God will honor it. God will bless it. It's not too late to have 50 people up here tonight. Amen. Not too late. Let's give out the gospel. Let's give out the gospel. Let's give out the gospel. How many of you in this room are retired? What are you laughing at, Lance? You'll be older than dirt before it's over with. Amen. One person a week, on purpose. What would it be like, Brother Thurman, on a Sunday morning, if 40 or 50 people, on a Sunday morning, they got a card in their pocket. There's a name on that card. They just come down here at this altar. What would it be like to pray for that person that they gave the gospel to that week? Pray that they wouldn't get away from it. Pray that God, listen. How many's ever heard the McCamey sing that song, Somebody Prayed for Me? My grandpa, Brother Aaron, took me down in the basement of an old coal mining camp house. They moved from the coal mining camp to Glade Spring. Jacked it up and moved it. And down in the basement, you had to go like this, get down in there. It was a dirt floor. There was a section about half as big as this communion table. I don't know if you can wax dirt or not, but that's what it looked like. It looked like it was waxed. I tell you what it was waxed with. Spit and tears. That's why my papa prayed. I was rebellious as a teenager. Things going on in my life he didn't like. But he had enough sense to know he couldn't change them. But he knew the God who could. And he prayed for me. I'm going to tell you tonight. We need to be praying. Just need to be doing what God would have us to do. Father, tonight, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for our precious people. Thank you for Stephen, this wonderful example that we have in the Bible. God, I pray that you would just help us, Lord. Help me, dear Lord, to be more like him. I thank you, Lord, for Brother Joe, for his testimony. Thank you for Brother Wrightley, his testimony. God, how faithful he was through the years. I can still hear him say, Jesus is precious. Oh, Lord, thank you for these men. God, help us to blaze the trail for someone else that might be coming along behind us. Help us, Lord.